Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our toll-free number, same as it is every weekend, it's 800-823-8255. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yarding. We're moving our way through the month of January. Think about this. 10 more days, we're at Groundhog Day. 10 more days, we're at Groundhog Day. Can you believe that? Make that prediction. How many more weeks till spring? It's still, you know, 6 weeks or whatever. But anyway, Groundhog Day. And then after Groundhog Day is Valentine's Day, then Home and Garden shows. And then we're into springtime. It's back. It doesn't take very long. It's almost over. So make sure you're getting your plants taken care of. You're going to have some new landscaping done this year. Get that landscape designer out to your house. Have them get the plans together. Get you on board so that when the weather breaks and they can start planting, they're going to have you right at the top of the list. Nothing worse than having the landscape, deciding, it's a first or middle of April, and let's go ahead and do some re-landscaping and have the professionals do it. And you call them up, and they say, well, it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks to get a designer out to your home, and then it's going to take a couple weeks to do the design, and then you're going to be on a booking for about 5 week delay to get it planted. You're getting your stuff done in late June, which is still okay, and you can still plant, but you wanted it sooner. So if you think you want to do a little bit of re-landscaping with a landscape designer and a landscape crew, get your name in the pot right now. Get them out to your house right now. Get the plan together and get those new landscape plans going. If you're going to do it yourself and you're still going to have someone do the design, get it done now so that you know what plants you're looking for. You can do your homework, find out where you're going to get them, who's going to have them, et cetera, and then take it from there. And and get your plans together. So, again, do your dreaming, do your planning, get everything together at this stage, because I'm telling you, it's going to happen quickly. Spring's going to get here. As soon as the weather breaks, you're going to want to have at it, and you want to have your plans in place. So, again, landscapers, get them out to your house as soon as you can to get that taken care of. Very, very important. And, of course, what that can add to the value of your home, both the perceived value, especially if you're going to resell your home, the perceived value and the value, actual value to the home can add as much as 10, 15, 20% to your home with proper landscaping. And as I mentioned last week, a survey was taken by some real estaters and all, and they were talking about some of the best things to do when it comes to reselling your home. And of course, the hardscapes, very important, the front entrance, flowers, very important, containers. But planting trees, and they were talking about properly placed trees, proper trees on the property, how much more they increase the value of the home. Trees alone, how much they increase the value of the home, as well as all of the other benefits trees give to us, to the environment, to the wildlife, the whole nine yards. It's phenomenal. So again, springtime, you can plant plenty of trees in the spring. Get your plans in place so you know what trees you're going to plant, where you're going to get them from. And as soon as the weather breaks, you're ready to go and get out and start planting. 800-823-8255, Scott in West Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Yes, sir.
I was, sitting here freezing. It's about 6 degrees out here. I'm on a strike line at a plant where I work. And I was listening to all your comments about home appeal and things. And one of the problems I had last year was my gutters icing up. And all the... water would just literally run inside the house from the gutter freeze-ups. So this year, we had the house painted, had everything redone, and then I realized a little too late, actually, when we put the new roof on the house last year, we changed the dynamics of the roof. We removed the whirly birds and put the vent along the ridge on the top, and that changed the whole dynamics and made it even melt worse. So anyhow, what I told you that to tell you this. I borrowed a pair of my wife's pantyhose. She's not going to find that out for a while. And I cut them, filled them full of calcium and put them in the gutters. And that kept everything ice, that kept all the ice melted. So I didn't have a problem with the ice dams this time around. But I had to be careful. If you put the salt in them, you can damage your gutters and your bushes and everything.
Absolutely.
But I hadn't heard about calcium bothering or injuring your plants. So I was kind of wondering about input on that.
Yeah, it can. And that's you know, it can be bad news. And it doesn't take very much of that to build up in the soil to cause problems. We always call that strip between a sidewalk and the street sometimes referred to as the hell strip. And the reason it is because during the summertime, that narrow strip is always hot. It's dry. It's hard to get things to grow there. And then in the wintertime, if you're in a snowy situation, what gets piled up there? Well, the snow plows come through and they pile up that snow with the calcium that they put on the street there. And so you get a salt buildup. So you get a double whammy in that location.
Oh, yeah.
And it can really do a number on the soil. Now, what do you do about it? We have found, like in those strips, that if you actually go in and take the sod out and till in organic matter, compost, manures, things like that, and get a high level of organic matter so it drains well, we have found that the salts will actually move through quicker and through natural rainfall, late winter and springtime, and we've had less issues with that building up. You can also look at using gypsum as a somewhat of a neutralizer for salt buildup in the soil as well. But it can do a number. There's no doubt. It can do a number on both turf and the plants around it. So in your downspouts where that's coming back out, if you can direct that into any kind of a solid stream where it doesn't, you know, that it would only go through a small drain area and leach just within that area. The thing you got going for you is once you take those salt that out of there and you get that, you know, like we get to a point where you say you feel comfortable and you're not going to get the ice dams anymore, and you take that out of there and then you get natural rainfall, that natural rainfall will do a heck of a job for you moving that on through and leaching that out for you in the springtime.
Right. Neutralizing on itself.
But do what?
Would that neutralize it on itself?
Well, it does. Mother Nature, through natural rainfall, helps. It doesn't neutralize. It just helps to move it on through the soil. So, yeah. But in answer
right
your...
Now,
go ahead.
Yeah, because right now, around the house, I don't have any... the house sits back probably 100 feet from the main road.
Mm-hmm.
So anything as far as plantings close to the house, I don't have anything planted up against the house. Probably... Mm-hmm. You know, within, nothing. There's nothing. There's not even grass up close to the house. I've got gravel and things like that.
Right.
So the water runs through. I don't have any cosmetic plants or anything like that. I do have some trees, but they're probably 10 or 15 feet out from the foundation.
Sure.
And they're ornamental trees.
Okay.
But,
I think if you could keep that narrowed down just to get it to drain somewhere, get, you know, drain away. And again, like I say, through the natural rainfalls in the springtime, that should be enough to help leach that out of there until you can correct the situation. And I won't tell your wife that you used the pantyhose and put those up there. that was a joke. But you know what's funny about the pantyhose? And again, I appreciate the call. And you're right. That probably is not the best thing to do in the gutter. And no ice is that salt's not good for the calcium is not good for the plants. Is the thing of the pantyhose. And I don't know why I thought of this, but when I think of pantyhose today, if you ever need ties for tying up tomatoes or plants in the vegetable garden or plants to a trellis or whatever, do you know those make the best ties for doing that? Take them and cut them up in strips that you can use to just pull around and tie a knot in it and tie that up. It's elastic enough that it moves with the plant. It doesn't damage the vines that you're tying up. It lasts all season long. It's a color that doesn't stand out very much. And the old pantyhose, or you buy new ones if you want to, cut up in strips like that, are actually some of the best ties to use in a garden than things that you can buy off of the shelf. So there you go. All right, quick break. We come back. Dennis and Wes, you're coming up next. 800-823-8255 here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
PlumTight.com.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. You know, talking about that salt, and of course, it's not good for the soil. It's not good for the plants. I was reading an article from the Soil and Water Conservation District here, one of them here in Ohio. They had put out a notice, I don't know, about a month ago about road salt and, you know, de-icing your sidewalks and things like that. And of course, they're all sources, you know, whatever you use on there is a source of chloride to get the ice to melt. And they were talking about how much it takes to permanently pollute water forever with chloride. And it takes just one teaspoon of salt, has enough chloride in it to pollute 5 gallons of water forever. And, you know, the water, I guess, they, over time is becoming saltier and saltier all the time. But, of course, one way to reduce that is to reduce your amount of use of salt melters that has chloride in it and do come up with other ways. But I just thought that was interesting. To permanently pollute 5 gallons of water, it only takes one teaspoon of salt. It has enough chloride in it to do that. So things we have to think about, you know, and we talk about being smart in things that we do in the yard and garden and things like that, home improvement. And that's just another one of those things we need to think about before we just go out there and throw that salt everywhere to de-ice the sidewalk. Back to the gardening phone lines we shall go. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Before we get to my question, I just want to add a little bit to the previous caller. I always had problems with growing flowers near the driveway and the road around where my mailbox was, and I planted vinca vine, and vinca vine has certainly held up the last 3 or 4 years. I haven't had an issue with any of the salt from our road. So
interesting.
Just to pass that on.
So it's a very salt tolerant.
It seems to be
seems
so
to
far.
Be. Yeah,
yes.
Good. Is that the white and green vinca vine?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. What zone are you in?
I'm in zone 6. I'm here in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati? Isn't that interesting that vinca vine at one time was sold as an annual vine to be used in hanging baskets, you know, in containers and things like that? And then today, it's just lasts all winter long. It never goes away. But it was at one
time. Mine's doing great. It's still about 2 feet high.
It's amazing. But yeah, that was also at one time was sold as just an annual for our area. Now it's growing just about anywhere. So anyway, good
certainly
tip.
Is.
Appreciate that.
All right. So my question is, I have a lot of pots, you know, from hanging plants. And I was wondering if using that soil, bringing it inside and sterilizing it, would be good for my spring seed planting, doing the seeding indoors.
Sure, absolutely. You know, you can and I think the thing you bring up there as far as sterilizing can help you out. Have you had soil-borne disease issues with the other baskets and planters and things like that?
I hadn't, but since they were outside all summer long, I wanted to make sure that there weren't any bugs or anything else inside that I didn't want to bring inside the house.
Right.
I just read a couple articles, some supporting using that soil and some not so supportive. I just want to get your opinion on that.
I'm all about reusing potting soil. All right. And I don't throw any of that away unless you get into a soil-borne disease of some type, which is very rare. So I reuse it all the time. And now I'm talking about containers that are outside, although I would use that mix to bring inside for any houseplants or whatever that would need to repot as well. To use it for starting seedlings, you know, if it's a fairly new potting soil and it's still good and loamy, I'd have to look at the texture of it. I probably, myself personally, I would probably still reuse it. Chop it up well. You know, if anything at all, you could actually get some more potting soil and freshen it up, combine them together. But to actually go through the process of sterilizing it before I used it to start things, I probably would not go through that. You could. That's another step. But I personally have no problems doing that. Do you reuse it all the time? As a matter of fact, one of the tips here I had on my notes today is that as we start to look forward to our container plantings, don't forget to reuse that soil. And there's many ways to freshen it up before you get into the spring season. To take some of that and use it for a seed starter, I wouldn't hesitate at all.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Good talking to you, Dennis. And again, do remember especially this time of the year, if you've got containers that already have the soil in it and you want to freshen that up, you know, you can take like the garden augers. You know, we talk about doing that to drill holes into your existing landscape beds and perennial beds that you can use those holes in to put compost or pine vines or something down in the soil to add more organic matter back to the soil. You can use those augers, be careful with them, kind of as a blender to go through your containers and just kind of go up and down and kind of loosen those up. I'll leave the plants in there, the annuals in there that you pull out at the end of the season, and I'll leave the roots there. I'll just cut them off. Leave the roots in there, let them break down over the winter, and just chop them up and put them, disperse them back into that potting soil. So, you know, by using those augers, like the power planter, you can just go up and down and kind of loosen that all back up, grind those other roots back into the existing soil that's there. If you want to add any kind of a freshener, add some core to it or whatever, you could always drill a hole down through there, put it in the middle, and then mix it back up again. But use that like a blender and help to freshen those back up. Works quite nicely to do that. But again, reuse the potting soil that you've had in the past. I used to kid about when I did a whole lot of container gardening that there was probably a good chance that some of the potting soil in my containers was 20, 25 years old because I just keep reusing it. I never threw it away. I just kept reusing and reusing it all the time. And I said, you know, it could be 20, 25 years old, but I freshen it up. And, you know, in some containers when I repot, sometimes I have to add soil moist if I'm doing that, or like I said, the core or fresh potting soil because it's looking a little bit worn. If I'm using slow release fertilizers, you know, or the Osmocote or something like that, and freshen it up before we plant. But otherwise, I would continue to do that. If you did not reuse that potting soil, I don't know that you could afford to be a container gardener because, you know, it's not cheap to buy the good stuff to put in there. And you want to buy the good potting soil, not the cheap stuff, when you're doing container gardening. That is the success of your container gardening. Well-drained soils, the right size pot that you're going to grow it in, and then the well-drained soil, and then the holes in the bottom to make sure it drains well. And don't put gravel in the bottom of your pots. Research has actually shown that putting gravel or chipped up clay or whatever in the bottom of the pots actually slowed down the drainage process and just made your pots heavier. Don't do that. Just use your regular potting soil, and you're good to go. Quick break. We come back. Les, you're coming up next. Phone lines are open for you at 800-823-8255 here in the garden with Ron Wilson. Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255. Don't forget our website at ronwilsononline.com. Our plant of the week this week, three types of viburnums that are evergreen or semi-evergreen will add winter interest to your landscape as well. Bold plants, good for screening, visual breaks, that type of thing. Viburnum Preg, Birkwood, and Allegheny. Check them out at ronwilsononline.com. Don't forget Rita's recipe, homemade marshmallows. Ever done that before? I haven't, but now you can. Back to the yarding phone lines we go. Wes, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Spoke to you last week briefly. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
I'm still the dwarf Albertas. I can't go buy dwarf Albertas and not look.
Oh, and worry about the little growth coming out the top?
The sports, yes. I want to see them, man. I do. but you touched on a couple topics last week that we didn't get to, and no big deal. You're talking about my container gardening has been a disaster for 20 years. I mean, potted flowers, annuals, and whatnot. I don't have a problem with that, but vegetables, peppers I do fine with hot peppers, but sweet peppers I grow on the ground. They're easier than dirt. I've got a great spot that they love, but tomatoes I've had a problem with. So you're talking about the pot and pot growing with the indoor houseplants as well last week.
Right.
Okay, pot in earth. Do you see where I'm going here?
In the ground?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's...
I've got...
Go ahead.
I've got huge planters that aren't really planters. They sell them as like calling devices at Walmart. They're about $8 a pop, but they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not big enough to grow a large tomato in.
Mm-hmm.
But to bore the bottom out of one and put it on good earth, good soil, I've got good garden space, would keep me off of my hands and knees.
And sure.
Would give me about a 2-foot boost. How do you feel about that?
I like it. And here's the thing, you know, if you've got good soil below so that the water can drain out. And I've had folks
that
will take containers and actually kind of nestle them into the ground about 6 inches or so. If it's a real heavy clay soil, you put it down there, it doesn't go anywhere. The water still sits in the bottom of the pot because the soil just hangs onto it like a tub. So if you've got good drainage, that actually is a great way to grow. And you know what you're talking, Wes, when you're talking about putting these containers up out of the ground, it's like raised bed gardening. And I still think raised bed gardening is the way to grow because you get that up out of the ground. You create.
I'm believing.
Yeah, so you're. That's what you want to do, and it makes it easy for you to bend over. We don't. It's not as much work. You get the plants are right at your face. Not at your face, but right there in front of you, and it does make it a whole lot easier. So I like your idea of using those containers, nestling them in a little bit, bottoms out of them, and then getting it up off the ground. It just makes sense. And it does make it easier for you, there's no doubt. I think the thing about container gardening, we do have to remember, and I know folks will say, I've tried container gardening with tomatoes or whatever and just had no success. And then I can show you a lot of people like myself who's done it for years and had great success. I think, size of container is very, very important, especially when it comes to tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
The type of soil you use. And, of course, you've got your watering practices and fertilizing and all of that all play in.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And, it's like, and you were just talking about reusing potting soil.
Right.
I never throw it out.
Yeah, never. Good.
I divide and transfer so many plants every year of my life.
It's ongoing, isn't it?
I have to have it on hand,
Sure.
It helps. I mix in plain old dirt, even clay, whatever it takes, keep some plants alive and get them moved to a new home or a new location, whatever it takes.
Sure. Oh, I totally understand.
But throwing that stuff away is insane. I don't know about the purification process. I never researched that.
Well, I think the caller before, what he was talking about is he was going to grow some seedlings, use it for a seed starter base. Using an old potting soil, and obviously, if you went in and tried to sterilize it, clean it up, you would get rid of any issues that would be in there if there were already disease spores or if there were any insects. But personally, I wouldn't go through that process myself. I would take a look at it, see what you got going on, and in most cases, the soil that's in those pots would be good to grind it up, fluff it up, and use it for starting seeds in as well. So I wouldn't go through the soil sterilization process. Professional growers may do that, but
I wouldn't
go through that. Yeah. Hey, we got to go, Wes. Always a good talking to you. Appreciate the call. All right, take care. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Gary Sullivan with a little home improvement. Again, I want to mention, don't forget our website. It's ronwilsononline.com. Read his great recipe on how to make your own marshmallows. Our plants of the week this week, viburnums, the evergreen viburnums, which I think you can appreciate if you're looking for a screening, a border planting of a leafy plant that keeps most of those leaves over the wintertime. Great for the wildlife, great flowers for you in the spring, and some of them off and on in the summer. Some occasional berries on there for you, but be sure and check out the three viburnums we have chosen there for you as well, plus all the other great information that you'll find at ronwilsononline.com, including the tomato with things growing out of it. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Well, there's a term for that, and you can find out about it again on our website at ronwilsononline.com. Quick break. We come back, home improvement with Gary Sullivan here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Sean Hannity. Weekdays at 3 on 55KRC and online at 55KRC.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Time for the man, the myth, the legend, the most listened to home improvement. Your host in the entire solar system. His website is GarySullivanOnline.com, and he is with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. 57 days, 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 32 seconds.
Until what?
Spring.
The meteorological or the astronomical?
Well, there's only one spring. The other one's man-made, Ron.
Okay.
57 days, 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 18 seconds.
10 days to Groundhog Day.
How many?
10.
You love Groundhog Day.
I do. It's my favorite.
It is. For years. You love Groundhog Day. In fact, one day I was talking about you to a buddy of mine. He goes, man, Ron loves Groundhog Day. It's just in the middle of the summer. It was like, wow.
It always fires me up. I do.
I still got my groundhog beer you gave me.
Do you?
Yeah, it probably didn't taste too good anymore.
But I popped one of those about a year and a half ago, and it was not very we're now staining the old rough cut cedar.
Mm-hmm.
It's semi-transparent. It's too dark, but it's the lightest one I could get. It's funny how the wood changes colors.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm learning about that. We painted some of it, you know, all that stuff. So I'm doing all that. And I got paint right now. I have paint all over my hands, and I got splinters, and you'd be proud of me.
Then
I get home the other night, and the garbage disposal stopped up.
And what'd you do that for?
A couple pieces of chicken breast, cooked.
And no bones.
And it stopped.
Better chicken, Ron.
And it stopped it up, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I plunged and I plunged. I couldn't get it open. I finally had to get under the sink and take that pipe off.
Oh, yeah, take the pipe off.
Oh, yeah, and take that pipe off.
Glorious.
Into that tea, and there was one little chunk of chicken breast stuck in there that was not going to move. I had actually kind of pound on it to get it to come out of there.
Man.
It was horrible.
It was like Dr. Ron.
Then I put it all back together, and you know the two bolts that you put that pipe back into the side of the garbage disposal?
Where the flanges?
Yep.
Yeah.
I dropped one. Oh. It went under the dishwasher.
What? Well, I'm not even going to ask what you thought about that.
This is now 8 o'clock.
Did you go buy another bolt?
I picked up the other bolt, put it in my pocket, put my coat on.
Went to the hardware store. And bought six bolts instead of the one you needed.
Got four.
Okay.
Pack of four. Came back.
Well, that's good because it gave you time to drop a couple more.
Put it in, turned it on, and it worked.
Yay!
And then no leaks.
Yay! Well, good job.
So I've been Mr. Home Improvement all week.
You know, Ron, with my background in the hardware business, the hardware store, on Sundays is when a lot of the guys, the do-it-yourselfers, would get into their plumbing issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday morning at, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, they would be lined up outside with their paper grocery bags. This shows you how long ago it was. And they had all their pipes in there. And we'd get on our hands and knees, and we'd put the whole configuration together on the floor, and we'd get the pieces they need, and we'd send them on their merry way. But before they left, we always said, and we estimated, I'll see you in about an hour and 40 minutes. I'll see you in an hour.
Depending on how far away you left or you lived. Right.
And they would always look and say, what are you talking about? I said, well, there'll be another piece that'll be broken. You'll drop something, you'll damage something, or it'll leak. We'll see you in an hour and a half. And I didn't do a statistical study or anything, but I would have to say it was well on the positive side of a half would be back. Because when you get into plumbing, you know what it's like, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, just a little, you know, drop of, you know, your bolt and off you go.
Yep.
There goes another hour.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I'm proud of you.
And then.
No drips, well, no leaks, no air.
I hadn't made dinner yet.
Gosh, you were full service this week.
Well, I do all that too. So anyway, I hadn't made dinner yet. So then I had to get dinner after I finished doing the plumbing.
I probably weren't very hungry after pulling a chicken.
I really
out
wasn't.
Of the pipe.
I really wasn't.
It's kind of,
but you know what amazed me? That thing was, I mean, it was jammed in that little T where those two come together like that.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I had to get a screwdriver and pound on it
to
get that to come out of there.
Why it didn't grind it up?
I don't know. And that's what it just, it was a chunk. How it got through that garbage disposal, I have no idea.
You got to buy better chicken. I think that's really the story. You
must have been. I don't know. But
it was cooked, you said, too.
Yeah.
It was cooked.
Oh, was a couple things left over, you know, that, and I'm not going to save them. I just said down at the disposal.
Well, just think of it this way. Let me try to get you in a better mood, okay? 57 days, 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 29 seconds.
Love it.
You have dirt under your fingernail.
Oh, yeah.
You want to have dirty chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to smell the fresh-cut grass and the mulch. Mm-hmm. And life will be good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be all right.
It'll be okay. It's good.
It'll be okay.
It's all good. It's a learning lesson.
It isn't when you drop that bolt, though.
The bolt was a different story.
Yeah, there's always some choice words on that.
Because it didn't. It made one hit, and then it was gone.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have a helper during this time, did you?
No.
That's good.
Nope, that's just good. Me.
See, if it's just you and something like that happens, you grumble to yourself, you know, give yourself a slap upside the head. But if you're working with somebody, you get the sneer.
No, it was just me.
That's good. Good.
And to top it all off, I'd been painting and staining down low, so I'd been squatting down, sitting on low.
Ooh.
So I'm a little sore. You know, you're a little sore doing that.
I
got home and had to get back down because you can't just get in the cabinet under the sink. You have to lay down.
I'm not so sure I do that well at all. You know, Ron, you brought up a good point when you said you were sealing or staining the rough sawn cedar.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something like, I never really knew it was going to get that dark. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, when you pick out a paint color, that's the color you get. Whether you're painting it on drywall, whether you're painting on wood, whether you're painting on concrete, that's the color you get.
Right.
You use stains. You can take that same can of stain and use it on cedar. You use it on oak. You can use it on pine, and you'd never know it came out of the same can.
Well, see, and that's what I did because I had some pine that I had done some work around the corner, so I put just a little dab on that,
right.
And that's exactly what I wanted.
Right.
But I put it on that cedar, and it got dark.
Right, because that cedar has more porosity than the pine, so it's going to suck more in. And it's darker by nature anyway, and you're going to end up with a darker color. Yeah, I used to love it when people would bring in a piece of woodwork, and they go, okay, that's the color of stain I want. And I go, whoa. First of all, stain's different colors. Not everybody's golden oak is golden oak. Second of all, this is on oak. Is your new baseboard on oak, or is it on pine? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, it's going to matter because the color's going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that, but, yeah, it's can be awakening.
Might I say that it went through three different stains before we...
Well, at least you got the stain right. You had a really good day.
I learned a lot.
You had an excellent week.
We got the lightest stain that we could get, and it's still dark. It looks great. It looks good. Mm-hmm. It's just way darker than what we wanted.
Right.
But it's amazing how it is tying even the newer wood together with the old.
Right.
It really did tie them together.
Good.
And it actually covered up some of the stains that we had from the old wood that was there and had some stains on it. So,
well, cedar really drinks a lot of stains.
We found that out.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know, buy a quart and use a gallon, right?
I think we're...
Or buy a gallon, use 10 gallons.
We're up to 3 gallons. We aren't even a third of the way through this thing, so... And the time, too, because it's at rough.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm a little sore. I got paint on my hands, wood splinters.
I feel for you. But just remember,
but
57 days, 2 hours, 19 minutes.
I got it.
Okay.
But my enthusiasm, I kept myself fired up because I guess Gary Sullivan would be proud of me.
I think I'm most proud of you on the disposal. And not so much for your ability to hang on the bolts or anything, but your mere ability to get underneath the cabinet, I think is outstanding.
Ugh.
That's outstanding.
I didn't think I was going to get back up.
Howie, I hear you.
And then I got back from the hardware and had to get back down there again.
Uh-huh. And isn't it amazing the lip on that cabinet always is right at the base of your spine?
It's right there. I was putting rugs on there. I was trying to build up something on the side.
You didn't have to get anybody to pull you out.
Right under my shoulder blade. No, I got it. I got out.
I had this one area. It was really hard. There was no way with my knees that I was going to get in there, and I had a plumber come out, and he wasn't a whole lot younger than me. I'm like, how are you going to get back there? Out of his toolbox comes these big, huge knee pads. I went, And well, that won't work since my knees are mechanical, but yes, that's a great idea.
Hey, you didn't by chance hear our caller with the salt in the gutters?
Yeah, I did. And your discussion on that, on the chlorides, was pretty interesting. But do you know that the magnesium chloride, it doesn't melt the ice down as low as the calcium chloride, but there is less chloride in that,
yeah.
And it does melt down to about zero, not 25 below. But
the point, you know,
so
the point,
that's another option.
Yeah, the point with the soil and water though is that they all have chloride in them.
Right, they do.
So even though they're safer for plants and pets and all and the environment, it still has chloride in it.
Correct.
And doesn't take very much, as I pointed out there, to permanently pollute it with chloride. Right.
Well, I know one time you had corrected me because I said something about after you've used the salts or whatever, you know, make sure you rinse that down, get that off that driveway. And you go, well, don't do that. It goes right into the watershed. Sweep it up. And correction was it was accepted. And I've always talked about just sweeping up the residue, too.
Yeah. It
minimizes how much goes into the watershed.
And that's the whole point, trying to minimize what you're doing there.
Right.
Be smart about what you're doing. Gary Sullivan, always a pleasure. GarySullivanOnline.com. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care.
All right.
Thanks to all of our callers. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks, of course, to our special guest, Rita Heikenfeld. Always fun having Rita on our show. And, of course, to Mighty Joe Strecker, our executive producer, because without Joe, this show just wouldn't go. Now, do yourself a favor. Think about where you're going to plant that tree or two or three and those native plants and those pollinator plants and how you're going to pamper those worms this year and how you're going to get kids involved with gardening. And by all means, have fun and make it the best weekend of your life. See ya.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.